Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him. Yeah, no.
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network. The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Yes, you're very welcome along to the Paddy Power Half Hour. We are looking ahead to Ireland's crunch tie against Slovakia on Thursday night in Bratislava. You can listen to that full match on Off the Ball with Nathan Murphy and Stewie Byrne. Full live commentary from 7:45. I am joined on the line by former Republic of Ireland and Crystal Palace player Damien Delaney, Ireland and Piemont United player Stephanie Roach, and I'll be joined by Paddy Power as well a little bit later on as we look at the odds of this game. Damien, we'll start with you. This is a massive game for these Irish players, and pressure is something that's going to come into this. Irish players have spoken about nerves and feeling a little bit more nervous when they put on the Ireland shirt than in their club shirts. What part does pressure play in this sort of big game? Will these players be nervous going into this, or will they be full of confidence under Stephen Kenny?
No, you'd have to be nervous. I mean, anyone to tell you they're not nervous would be absolutely lying. Playing for your club is a little bit different. I suppose you always kind of look at your club as, without being cynical, as your job, you know, whereas playing for a country is a little bit different. It's special, and you have a chance, realistically, to change the mood of a whole country. So if we win tomorrow night, the whole country is going to be on an absolute high, and there'll be a mad, hopefully, there'll be a mad rush to book tickets to the Euros if fans are actually allowed. But even if they're not, there's still going to be people booking holidays for when they're on so they can stay at home, watch games, or hopefully go to pubs. So, the players know that they've the weight of that on, not the weight of that on their shoulders, but they have kind of that in the palm of their hand. And if they do well, then they have the power to change the mood of a nation.
Did that come into your play when you were playing for Ireland? When you're compared to playing for Crystal Palace, did you question yourself a little bit more when you had the Ireland shirt on, when you're, say, passing it out from the back, or even just taking a bit more risks on the ball? That seems to be something that's been missing with Ireland over the last couple of years, is the players are almost scared to give it away and end up playing almost inside themselves a little bit.
Well, I suppose you could look at that two ways in so far as, you know, I don't think there was an awful lot of structure for playing football in the previous regime. And I'm a big believer in players having structure, having kind of values of when a centre-back has the ball, he knows he has options, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I don't think there's a lot of that was off the cuff under the previous manager. And I think this manager is different. I think we've already seen it, although it's not, I know a lot of people will say it wasn't great, but the two games he just had, you could see there was definitely a bit more structure. We definitely had more of the ball, and that's because players know when they have the ball, they know where their first option should be, their second look, their third look. But to go back to a previous question, then yeah, you do feel a bit more. I always felt way more nervous playing for my country because, like as I said to you, I was always able to separate my club to very, very professional. It's a job, I have to do it, and I'll do it to the best of my ability. Whereas when it's your country, and you're standing facing the tricolour, singing Aran Avian, it does hit you different. I don't care, anyone will tell you different. One of the most emotional times I got in my life was on my debut, when we played Serbia at Croke Park, of all places. And, you know, when you're standing in Croke Park and Aran Avian is playing, it's different. It gets you different. So I'm pretty sure the players will be feeling that, but they've done it all before. And I'm sure Stephanie will agree as well. I hope she'll agree that it's the same.
Yeah, Stephanie, another narrative going into this game is the fact that, you know, against Bulgaria and against Finland, the players were coming back from without a pre-season in summer, and they hadn't played a lot of football. The likes of Shane Duffy had only played in once or twice in a couple of months for Brighton during the season as well. You yourself have been back in action for Piemont United. What is the difference from going straight into the season the first couple of weeks when you're playing football to when you have 3 to 4 games under your belt when it comes to this?
Yeah, it's huge. I think we've seen that in the couple of games, and as Damien touched on, I think there was a structure there in place with Stephen Kenny, and he wanted the guys to try and play a bit of football. But as you say, they hadn't played a lot of games. It's pre-season with everything that was going on in the world. It was a bit different. And and getting themselves going in that game might have been a bit different. But I think, as you mentioned, they've got games under their belts now. A lot of the lads are playing first-team football as well, which will definitely be important going into this game. They've played some big games, not just kind of pre-season friendlies, but actually back in their leagues as well. So I do think it's very important to mention that those two games coming in, obviously change of management, change in style of play, and also not having that pre-season, there are a lot of pre-season games, will definitely have factored into it. So coming into this game, things are a lot different. Obviously, there hasn't been a lot of time with the squad for Stephen as well, but all these players will be coming in fully fit and hopefully raring to go for this game and ready to play for Stephen and play for the country. And as Damien says, if the country ever needed a lift, it's now, you know, so hopefully they'll be able to do that for us.
So having seen those games against Bulgaria and Finland and taking into account the 3 or 4 weeks now that the players have had to get the rustiness out of the system, get some energy back in their legs, what would you be expecting Ireland to do a little bit differently against Slovakia this Thursday, Stephanie?
I think just a bit more energy. I think, as we've seen, they do. Stephen Kenny obviously has his philosophy and how he wants to play, and he wants the lads to kind of not fear going into games. I think in the past, we probably would have went into games against the countries who are kind of close to us or maybe a little bit better, maybe going in trying to get a draw. Obviously, this is a once-off game, so I'm sure Stephen has these players ready going into the game to win the game and not go in kind of with a negative attitude. We want to get on the ball, we want to play, we want to create chances. And I think, as I said, in the last two games, maybe the energy wasn't there as much because the fitness wasn't there. So hopefully with the lads having that bit of match and pre-season under their belts and the couple of games in the Premier League and the Royal Leagues they've been playing in, that will help them. They'll have that energy to be able to kind of to put into practice and put into place that the kind of the game that Stephen Kenny wants them to play. And that seems to be high energy, get on the ball and play football. And that's what all the fans, I suppose, have been given out about that we haven't seen over the years. So hopefully we can see that on Thursday.
I actually completely agree with that, because a lot of players were asked to play 290 minutes in a space of 3 or 4 days, which realistically in pre-season for your club, you never would do. I mean, you probably pay 45 in one of two games, let alone 290s back to back. So that's why the second game, I thought the players looked a little bit more lethargic and a little bit tired. Shane Duffy, looked like he was breathing heavy, but and people, you know, so early in pre-season and to play 290 minutes back to back is tough.
Paddy Power's with us now as well. Paddy, I presume that since Slovakia are the home side and they do have a good home record, they're going into this game as favourites.
Just about, though. I mean, there's nothing between the two teams really on previous form that you can read too much into that. But I think it's great to hear the guys with a bit of experience. Like, I'm coming in here like a fan, all a bit excited about tonight, this great game. And then you look down at the odds, and like you said, Slovakia are just favourites at 6-4. Ireland are 19-10, which is just under 2-1. So there's nothing between the two teams, really. In theory, it should be a draw because they're so closely matched in previous encounters. But the favourite for scoring the first goal in the match is actually no goal. So that might put into perspective how tight it's going to be from a betting perspective, if you can read into it. But I mean, it's great to hear it. Like, I mean, I think you do read into like what the guys were saying about, you know, a few games under their belt and all that kind of thing. And they did hear some commentator saying that it was defence that takes a bit longer than attack to kind of mould in at the start of a season. And judging by the Premier League at the weekend, there's still a bit of work to do with some of the defence as well.
Yeah, and as meaningless as the FIFA rankings are, there's only one difference between Slovakia and Ireland. Slovakia just about ahead of Ireland in the world rankings at the minute. Speaking of defence, one of the things that has been a conversation throughout Stephen Kenny's career as Ireland manager, the short term that he's been in charge, and also the end of Mick McCarthy's tenure, was Seamus Coleman or Matt Doherty. That decision has sort of been taken out of Stephen Kenny's hands here, Damien. Matt Doherty likely to start here because Seamus Coleman is a doubt for the game, probably not going to feature, as Stephen Kenny said in his press conference over the weekend. Matt Doherty spoke during the week after Tottenham's European game about the difference between playing in a back four and a back three. Can you talk us through that? I know you're a centre-back yourself, but what is the key differences between playing three at the back with two wing-backs and a flat back four?
Ultimately, for Matt, it's a case of when he attacks, he knows he has a right side of three centre-backs, so he's almost has an extra right back, so he doesn't have to track back as quick, or he doesn't have to worry about the ball in behind him, because he knows that he can go and press his opposite wide man, and if the ball does get spun over his head, the right side of three will usually be already in that channel, whereas when you're playing in a back four and you've got two centre-backs, they'll usually be pretty narrow and pretty central. So if you go in and press the wide player and the ball gets spun over your head, there's a huge gaping hole there. And if you've got a centre-back, and I'm not saying I was one of them, but if you've got a centre-back that doesn't like going out wide, most of them will probably head towards goal and scream at the right back, you know, because centre backs don't necessarily want to get dragged out into wide areas in open spaces, because if they get caught 1v1 in wide spaces, not me, I mean, I loved going out there, to be honest with you, but if you do get dragged out there. So that's the main difference from him, is that he has to pick and choose his times. Now, I suppose he's lucky that he's Shane Duffy alongside him in some cases, but I know that Shane is one that won't like to be dragged out towards near the touchline, so Shane will usually kind of bunker in the middle of the park, and that's why in some of the games you saw there might be, you know, spaces for the opposition to expose. But I suppose, look, that's the tactical side of it, to be honest with you. Yeah.
You mentioned Shane Duffy, of course, that is another topic of conversation that has been dominating the headlines over the last couple of weeks. Shane Duffy has been playing for Celtic over the last couple of weeks. He's been playing as the right-hand side of a back three, which was an interesting choice from Neil Lennon. I would have thought that he would have been more suited to the centre of it. What differences do you think you'll see in Shane Duffy now, Damien, as a centre-back? Will it be easy for him to adjust back into a back four, being the right side of defence, or do you think we'll see a vast improvement on him since the Bulgaria and Finland games?
That's not all that strange, playing left-foot players on the right. A lot of managers, a lot of coaches I spoke to, like doing that, because Shane, being naturally left-footed, his first tendency is to go in the park, and some managers want to play through the middle. So, I mean, if Shane's playing on the left and it comes in his left foot, it's going to be outside his body, so his initial pass is going to be to his left wing back. Whereas if he's left-footed playing on the right-hand side, your tendency is to go infield all the time, and depending on how the manager wants to play. I'm not saying Celtic want to play that way, but it's not all that crazy for a left-footed player to play on the right-hand side. But look, for me, Shane Duffy is one of the first names on the team sheet for him. I think he's brilliant. I think he's talismanic. He's a character. He's huge. He's a presence, not only, you know, on the pitch in terms of like defending, but attacking set pieces as well. I mean, that can't be underestimated, the amount of goals that he can get you over the course of a qualifying campaign. And even, you know, the game on Thursday night could be crucial, Shane Duffy at set pieces. But look, it was spoken about at Lent, about him passing the ball, but you know, Shane probably understands he's not ever going to be Franz Beckenbauer. He just, and I said after the game, he just needs to simplify his game. You know, if James McCarthy's sitting in number six and Matt Doherty's at right back, they're your first two looks as a centre back if you don't want to overcomplicate it. But sometimes I thought Shane, especially early in the games, was travelling into midfield with the ball at his feet. And that's very, 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 very tricky unless you're Virgil van Dijk, because if you lose the ball, there's all sorts of holes behind you. So if I was him, and I've been in his position before, just simplify your game. Just give it to James McCarthy, give it to Matt Doherty, and that's your job done.
Yeah, Stephanie, I do want to ask you about Ireland's forwards and who we should be starting up there. But first, Paddy, Shane Duffy, to score here, he's been Ireland's top goal scorer over the last couple of years. He must be probably one of the favourites to score for Ireland, is he?
He's not quite. He's still not. He's probably not going to play him up front, so he can't be favourite. But he's 10-1 to score a header at all during the match. He's 17-1 to score the first goal, and 9-1 to score any which way. But 10-1 for a header in normal time, of course. So yeah, let's hope. It'd be nice if he popped up. I mean, I think it's going to go all the way. It's going to be one of those nights. It's going to be pretty dramatic the whole way through. We'll be waiting maybe for penalties at the end, but hopefully Duffy will pop up with a header at some stage.
Dramatic meaning boring.
I wouldn't say boring. It's not going to be boring if you're chasing a last-minute equaliser and you get it, and it goes to extra time, and there's a few off-the-line clearances, and then suddenly we go to penos, and I know they missed their first three. That'll be boring if we just saunter home in a penalty shootout.
Stephanie, the Irish forwards haven't really been scoring over the last couple of years. Aaron Connolly's getting some time under Brighton now. David McGoldrick did score at the weekend for Sheffield United. He's been playing a bit more centrally and a bit deeper as almost a number 10. Who would you like to see starting for Ireland in this game? Would you go for Aaron Connolly out wide with Callum Robinson and David McGoldrick through the middle? Do you think Adam Ida should be starting there, or what's your preference up front?
I think you've got to look at the form of players. I think obviously McGoldrick didn't start against Finland. You had Adam Ida who came in and started up front. But I think McGoldrick obviously got player of the year last year. He was probably one of our best players and was very good in a couple of the games. But again, it was just kind of getting those few games under his belt. I think having Aaron Connolly outside him, I think at times McGoldrick likes to kind of go wandering to get the ball. But I think he's at his best when he's in the box. We have players like Aaron Connolly and maybe Callum O'Dowd as well, started out right against Finland. There's a lot of choice out there to play. But my preference would probably be McGoldrick up front. I think he kind of proven himself in the last few games before all the kind of COVID hit. I think he just seems to have that little bit of quality. And as you mentioned, he's scoring goals as well. But Aaron Connolly out left as well, I think, needs to start. I think he's he's starting in a Brighton team who are playing really good football at the minute as well. So I think he's a player who I'd like to see play too.
Having played up front yourself and sort of as a forward player, Aaron Connolly, he plays centrally for Brighton during the year most of the time, or at least he definitely veers in there quite a lot. He's been starting under Stephen Kenny as sort of the left winger or the left wing forward. Can you explain to us what the difference is there in that position and how difficult it is for a forward to actually cut in inside and get inside his man and get into the box like Aaron Connolly wants to do?
I think for Aaron Connolly, he's quite dynamic. I think he's pacey, he's quick. And if you look at the players that kind of have been playing out there, that's kind of the attributes they need to have. I think he probably prefers to play through the centre. He prefers to maybe getting in on goal a little bit rather than running down the line for balls to cross in or maybe cutting in to shoot. But I think when you look at the players that are playing there, I think McGoldrick is probably the one who I would play up through the centre, as I wouldn't kind of put him wide. And I think what Kenny is trying to do is he's trying to fit his best players on the pitch. And I think Aaron Connolly is one of the best forward players. So if he has to play out left, I'm sure he'll be happy just to be playing in the game. But I do think that as a centre forward and you're used to playing in the centre forward position, you kind of just have to adjust your game a little bit. But I think the way Aaron Connolly plays, he wants to get the ball down, he wants to run with it, and he wants to get at players. And I think he can do that as well from out wide as he will in centre as well. So I don't think it will be an issue for him playing out left. I think he'll relish a chance to get on the ball and get at players. And as you say, he can cut inside and get shots off. He has the ability to play little tread through balls to kind of the likes of McGoldrick and whoever might be playing on the right-hand side or midfield following up the play. So I think playing out left won't be a problem to him. I think, as I said, Kenny will just be trying to fit his best players into the system that he wants to play.
Damien, I'm weary bringing up the Bulgaria-Finland games because they were friendlies and there was no pre-season leading into them, but it is pretty much all we have to go off so far under Stephen Kenny. He made three changes in the midfield. He changed it all together for the Finland game and the Bulgaria game. In this game going against Slovakia, do you go with James McCarthy in a deeper role with another man playing another dipper and then maybe Jeff Hendrick linking the attack in the forward, or do you go a flat midfield three that's a little bit more dynamic, a little bit more attacking? Which would your preference be going into this game?
I suppose my preference, if I was coaching, would be with two number sixes. I always like two number sixes because it frees up the other attacking four players. So if you're two wide players, your number eight, I suppose, really, and your number nine have a bit more freedom and less responsibility defensively. So when you go with one number six, you kind of always have to mind the house a little bit. You don't want to leave that one number six exposed. So I'll probably go with James McCarthy and Conor Horan in the number six. And Conor will go and join in naturally anyway. And I'd probably go with Jeff as an eight, really, just in front of them. And then Aaron Connolly and perhaps Callum Robinson wide. And I just have a funny feeling he's going to start Adam Eder, you know. I think Stephen Kenny's whole kind of tactical philosophy needs somebody to stretch in the pitch in behind. And Adam Eder probably is the only one, with the exception of maybe Shane Long, that stretches the pitch in behind. Because if you play with a number nine that comes to feet all the time, the opposition back four just keep creeping and creeping and creeping, and the whole thing gets condensed. And then it's really, really difficult to play football, which is what happened when McGoldrick plays as a number nine. Now, I'm with Stephanie there. I do believe that McGoldrick is probably too good a player to leave on the bench. So, you know, whether you go with McGoldrick as a number 10, you know, with James McCarthy and Conor Horan kind of as two number sixes is a possibility. Because I think McGoldrick is a terrific player, but I'm not sure he fits into Stephen's kind of philosophy as a number nine. But then again, I mean, you could always go about it the way Liverpool go about it, where their number nine comes short, but the two wide players going behind. So, you know, there's several different ways you go about it. But I think you have to have a threat in behind. Otherwise, opposition back four has just come right up in the halfway line and kill all your space.
So what's been going on with James McCarthy then, Damien, in your eyes? Because he was playing at the weekend. He's been playing for Crystal Palace over the last couple of months as well. He was excellent against Manchester United, but in an Ireland shirt just doesn't seem to work. Is there something different that they're doing that we're not?
See, I disagree with you totally there, because he didn't play for Ireland for 2 years because he was injured. And then he come back and he played against Bulgaria, I think it was. The Bulgaria game he played in? And, he was injured for Crystal Palace in midfield. And I've watched all the Crystal Palace games, and I think he's been pretty decent for Crystal Palace this year. I thought he was quite decent against Chelsea at the weekend. He obviously hasn't got 90 minutes in his legs because he very rarely lasts 90 minutes for Palace, but he's been pretty good since the season started. And he actually picked up an injury. I think it was a slight hamstring injury in pre-season where he missed a couple of weeks of training and he missed a couple of games. So it's very hard to judge him on one game when he's not had a proper pre-season, but he's been playing regularly for Crystal Palace now, and I think he's been pretty decent, to be honest with you, this year. And I'm almost certain that he'll start the game on Thursday night.
Couple of players to keep an eye on for Slovakia. Obviously, you have Hamšík, who's playing in China, but the club he's playing for are currently second bottom in their league. And then Stanislav Lobotka, who's currently playing for Napoli, one of the most highest rated Slovakian players at the minute, may not actually play in this game because of a mix-up in COVID regulations. Napoli were supposed to play Juve at the weekend. That game was abandoned because a Napoli player had tested positive and Napoli didn't travel. So it's unsure whether he's going to play there. Stephanie, how is this game going to be won and lost for Ireland? Do you see Ireland dominating possession? Do you see Slovakia dominating most of possession? Or where do you think this is going to lie?
I think it will be a sure possession. I can't see any team really dominating. I think Lobotka, if he isn't playing, I think that's a huge plus for Ireland, because I think he is a player who likes to get on the ball in the six, and he's kind of one of these players who can get on it really deep, but then at the same time he'll be on the edge of the Ireland box, maybe getting shots off a combination play. So he will be a big loss for Slovakia. I think that would be great if he's not involved. But yeah, I can see it being a kind of sure possession game. I think, as we mentioned before, Stephen will want the Ireland players getting on the ball and wanting to play, and we hopefully will see that. I think the fitness in the players will be a huge thing, and the match sharpness as well. But I think it will be a sure possession. I can't see anybody really dominating the game. I hope, as I said, that we can get on the ball and we can create chances and keep tight at the back end, and hopefully we can get the goal and a few goals and win the game. But I think, as I said, it will be kind of 50-50 possession. I don't think anybody will really dominate the game, but hopefully we can get on the ball and play.
Paddy, where are the odds favouring this? Is it Ireland to score from a set piece? How are Ireland going to win this game if they're going to win this? And are the odds favouring Ireland to actually qualify at all from this?
It's almost a toss of a coin. Slovakia are just favourites to qualify as well. They're 3-4 and Ireland are 21-20, a little bit better than even money. So, yeah, not much in it really. I mean, as I said earlier, a draw is as likely an outcome as an Ireland win. It's 19-10 for the draw. That's where it could be, like maybe a goal each is what some of the suggestions, some of the predictions would suggest, is one each after normal time, into extra time, then who knows what happens. But it's 11-1 for Ireland to win extra time and 15-2 to win on penalties. So, and 7-2 for the match to go to penalties. So it's all possible. It's all there. I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's, you know, some of the Ireland games have been pretty boring. I think this one is so much at stake. I think it's going to be pretty tension sandwich brigade. So it'll be nice.
Speaking of penalties, myself and Phil Egan were actually just chatting about this game in the office earlier on, and we were trying to name Ireland's penalty takers if it actually goes to penalties. So I'm going to put you two on the spot as well now, because I couldn't actually think of the five people, because you obviously have to take into account that if it goes to penalties, the likes of Dave McGoldrick probably won't be on the pitch unless he comes on as a substitute and isn't starting in the game. James McCarthy's unlikely to be on the pitch. Will Jeff Hendrick last the 120 minutes? Robbie Brady's certainly not going to be there if he starts the game. Stephanie, I'll start with you. Who would be your first, even if you have three names, who would be the first three names that you would have as an Ireland penalty taker?
I suppose if you're talking about players who will most likely be on the pitch for the whole game, I'd say Shane Duffy will definitely fancy his chances in getting on the score sheet from the penalty. From the penalty spot, and maybe Aaron Connolly as well, if he's still on. I know, again, he'd probably be running a lot throughout the game. He might not be on. I've mentioned the players who probably I would have picked straight away would be Jeff Hendrick, Robbie Brady, but again, players who maybe might not play the whole game. But I'd say probably the likes of Matt Doherty would be probably a player who might be on the pitch long enough to take a penalty, and the Stevens might want to get on one as well. So I think there's a lot of players who will fancy their chances. I don't think there'll be anybody who will shy away from having to take one. So if I'm honest, I'm not really too worried about the penalty takers. I think, as I said, there's a lot of players there with technical ability to be able to take a penalty and put it home. So hopefully we won't have to worry about that and we can finish the game in normal time. But I think there are enough players on the pitch who will, I think, be man enough to get up and take that penalty and slot it home.
Yeah, Shane Duffy, the first man on Stephanie Roach's penalty list. Damien, did you ever take a penalty?
Never, absolutely.
Is that because you weren't ever allowed to take a penalty, or did you ever?
I wanted to. They wouldn't even let me take penalties in training. I suppose the first name for me would be, if he's still on the pitch, which he most likely will be, Conor Hooran. You know, he's a specialist. His set piece delivery is fantastic. So I'd be pretty sure that he'd be the first name for me if he was still on the pitch. Followed by Aaron Connolly. He looks to have a nice swagger about him. Not short of confidence. And then after that, it's probably into a toss of a coin, to be honest with you, because you never know who's going to be on the pitch.
Before I get your actual predictions going into this game, Damien, where do you think this game's going to be won and lost? Do you think Ireland have enough going forward to actually get past the Slovakia side?
I do, yeah. I think it's going to come down to belief, really, and because the teams are so evenly matched, you know, not just with the prices with Paddy there, but I just think on paper, when you look at it, they really are small, and usually that'll be a matter of confidence, which team is the better prepared, which team is has the most confidence in applying what they've been asked by the manager, and I'm hopeful that it'll be Ireland.
So I'll start from top right on my screen. So that's Stephanie. Stephanie, your prediction for this game? Ireland to qualify?
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Ireland. Probably a little bit more of my heart saying that, but I think, as Damien mentioned, it's going to be a tight game. But I think Ireland will be set up properly in defence, and hopefully they don't concede. But if they do concede, I think they have enough going forward to be able to get the goals. So hopefully, with the games under their belts, as we mentioned before, they might be able to create a couple more chances for our forwards and we can get the win, but I'm going to go out and say 2-1.
Paddy?
I think it's going to be 1-1 after normal time. It's going to be a very tense extra time, and it'll go to penalties, and there'll be nothing in it. And then at the very end, Shane Duffy will be taking the last one. He's going to kneel down and take it with his head up in the top corner.
I'd like to see that. Damien, your prediction for this game?
I'd probably be leaning towards Paddy there as well. I think it'll be a draw over 90 minutes. And I think it might be decided in extra time. And obviously, penalties will be toss of a coin as well, to be honest. So I'm going to go for a draw over 90 minutes.
I always thought you were an optimist, Damien. I thought you were going to go for win.
No, I'm a realist as well. I just think that my heart is just telling me that the two sides are too evenly matched. There'll be very little risk taken. And, you know, barring any refereeing input with a red card or penalty or anything like that, I think both sides would probably be too even to separate.
All right, good stuff. Well, hopefully we do have a win on our hands on Thursday night. Remember that live commentary of that will be on Off the Ball with Nathan Murphy and Stewie Byrne at 7:45 kickoff in Bratislava. Damien Delaney, Stephanie Roach, and Paddy Power, thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
The Paddy Power Half Hour on OTB Sports. Minimal contact in stadiums. That shouldn't stop the usual suspects from going down. Gamble responsibly. GamblingCare.ie. That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.